But we are going to talk about covenant. And covenant, unfortunately, is not a word that we use too often in our daily language, which is interesting for a society that's so really steeped in the Christian tradition. We don't use this word that really is central to the scriptures. One author, I have a book in my office called Covenant and Kingdom, and he says that these two words, these two ideas, covenant and kingdom, are the DNA of the scriptures. So it's really kind of unfortunate, I guess, that we have this concept of covenant that is the DNA, part of the DNA of our holy scriptures, but we don't really use it too often. We don't really talk about this practice of covenant too often, except yesterday I performed a wedding service. And at weddings is maybe the only time really in our society where we hear the word or talk about or think about covenant. I think perhaps considering what a marriage is, what a wedding does, might help us to get into what covenant is all about. So at this wedding yesterday, we used words like love and cherish. We use words like forsaking all others and be faithful to my spouse. We use words like serve and honor and keep. We use words like that in a marriage ceremony, a wedding ceremony. And the idea is that these words are how the bride and the groom are called and invited to participate in this relationship that they are going to have from here on out. They will, as they make this marriage covenant, the marriage is a covenant relationship, as they make this marriage covenant, they are promising to love one another and to cherish one another, to honor one another, to serve one another, to comfort, to keep, to be faithful to one another. And we all know, I know as much as any of you who are married, that no one expects each other to live up to that covenant perfectly at all times. But these promises that we make and these words that we use are what draw us back time and time again throughout that relationship to say, this is what we're about. This is the path we're on together. And we are called back again and again to those vows that we make in our wedding, at our wedding, as we make our wedding covenant, our marriage covenant. And so covenant, maybe first and foremost, is an invitation to participate. Covenant is an invitation, and first and foremost, God's invitation to us to participate in a relationship, to participate in a community. This is what a covenant is, an invitation to participate. I thought this morning, this is why we didn't have a scripture reading, I thought we would kind of do a survey of all of the major biblical covenants, a very quick survey. We could spend weeks on any one of these, but we're just going to go through the covenants of Scripture. And I hope what you'll see is that these covenant relationships are participatory relationships. Every time God makes a covenant, God says, I will do this. And God says, here is how you can participate. And I'm calling you to participate in this relationship, in this community, in this covenant. And we begin, as we often begin, in Genesis 1 and 2. Now, the word covenant isn't used here, but I think what's going on here, and a lot of the language of what's going on here, is covenant language. And so, what is God's part in the creation covenant that he makes? What do you think? Is it up there? What does God do here? God blessed them. God created them. Yes, God created them. God blessed them. God brought them life. This is what God has done. We see that God is already at work even before he makes this covenant. God makes them. Not only does he make them and bless them, he says, I'm making you in my own image. You're special in some way. And so here's the covenant that God is making. Here's the work that God is doing. And then he invites the man and the woman to participate in this covenant. And what you see, what he says is, be fruitful and multiply, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. So he says, basically, continue in the creation process. Be fruitful, multiply. We know that this isn't just biological, it is also spiritual. But to continue in the creative process, participate in this creation covenant. And then have dominion, rule. God in this covenant, in this creation covenant, shares his authority. God is the creator and the rightful king, the owner of all rightful authority over this world, and yet he shares his authority with us. Have dominion over the earth to care and to cultivate the world as God would do it. So this is the covenant that God makes. You see God's role, you see people, how people are called to participate. The first time we actually see the word covenant, then, is in Genesis 6, and this is with Noah. And so we know that evil and wickedness have seeped into the earth at terrible levels, and so God looks down and says, I'm going to cleanse, I'm going to renew the earth with this flood. We've talked about this at other times, but then God makes a covenant with Noah. And what is God's covenant? What does God promise to Noah? Anyone? Yeah, he'll make it through, basically. So yeah, survival. He'll protect Noah. He also says when this flood is over, there's going to be kind of a cleansing. There's going to be kind of a renewal of the earth. Do you have a question? Or you want to say? He'll never flood the earth again. Even, yes, exactly, thank you. So actually in Genesis 9 then, after the flood, God makes that promise. He says, I'm never going to destroy the earth again. I'm never going to flood the earth again. He makes that promise to Noah and kind of renews this covenant. We'll get there in a second. Excellent, fantastic. I love I'm inviting you to participate in this sermon. Thank you for doing it. So what then is Noah, how does God say, Noah, here's how I'm calling you to participate in this covenant. What is Noah to do? Build an ark. Yeah, exactly. Build. God says build. And then actually, where we just had mentioned in Genesis 9, after the flood subsides and they're back on land, God in chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah, sound familiar, and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So God renews the creation covenant. He says, I'm not going to destroy it again. I'm calling you to begin again in this new creation. So, good. So then Genesis 12 is our next covenant. And Pastor Steve talked about this a whole lot last week. But we see in Genesis 12 all of the things that God says he is going to do. So, we'll get back to the very beginning of that verse in a second. But God says in Genesis 12, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. God is going to turn Abraham and his family into blessings to the world. I will bless those who bless you. The one who curses you, I will curse. That's God protecting these people. And in you, through you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God is saying, through your family, I'm bringing my blessing to the entire world. This is what God says he is going to do. So what in Genesis 12, how does God call Abram at this point, to participate in the covenant? What is Abraham to do? Go. Act in faith. Act in trust to God. Go to the land that I will show you. And then, of course, in Genesis 22, very similar, and there's another slide for this one, Kevin. And very similar. God said, go from your land, your father's house, and whatever. Missing that. But then in Genesis 22, it mirrors it. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him to sacrifice. And of course, we know God doesn't end up having Abraham sacrifice his son, but Abraham was called to participate in the covenant by trusting God, by believing, by obeying. Okay, so Abraham is called to participate. We got to skip ahead a little bit to the next covenant, which is in Exodus 19. And God keeps his covenant. We saw in Exodus 2, right? God keeps his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by delivering the Israelites out of Egypt. In Exodus 19, God is making a new covenant. Let's look at that. We spent a lot of time with this during Lent. We start off actually with how they're participating. If you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. This is what God is doing. And actually, the previous verse showed that God was already at work. He said, I brought you up on eagle's wings out of Egypt and delivered you from slavery. So God has already established himself as someone they can trust in this relationship, in this covenant that God is making. He says, this is what you will do. This is what I will do. What do they do? Just look at the top there. I think you all can see that. What is their role of participation? Obey my voice. Keep my covenant. Listen to God. Trust me. Obey. Catching a theme here. This is the covenant that God makes with the people of Israel. A lesser known covenant, I guess, would probably be in 2 Samuel 7. This is God's covenant with David. Now here, we've talked about how God is always the initiator. God is always at work even before he makes the covenant. Well, in this case, David gets this bright idea. Well, I'm going to do something. He says, I'm going to build God a temple. And you know what God says? Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on a second. This isn't how covenants work. This isn't how we do things. God says to David, first of all, thus says the Lord, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be prince over my people, and I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them. And he goes on to promise David. He says, you're not going to build me a house, I'm going to build you a house. Not literally. I'm going to give you a throne, a kingdom, where one of your descendants will be on this throne forever. God promises David an everlasting kingship. Someone from David's line will always sit on the throne of God's kingdom. And of course, we believe that to be fulfilled in Jesus, who was a descendant of David and is the eternal king. This is what God promises to David. And what is David's role? Actually, this one, nothing. God's kind of making a point to David. This is my thing. I will make it happen, which is a good thing because sometimes the kings are really faithful. A lot of times they're not. But God says, I will make this happen. Whether you're with me or not, it's going to happen. All right, so that's kind of an exception in this. But then finally, we have the new covenant. We get a glimpse of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31. God says, in this new covenant, I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Looking forward to this time where God is going to, in some sense, indwell the people, transform them from the inside out to live the life that God created them to live. So how do we participate? Well, we got to go to the New Testament. You know what New Testament means? New covenant. That's where we get the phrase New Testament. It's the New Covenant. The New Testament is the story of the New Covenant. And so how does Jesus invite us to participate in the New Covenant? Well, we have phrases like, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. It's a great phrase. In Acts 2, Peter, on Pentecost, is telling the people about this new covenant that God has made through Jesus, and the people are saying, wow, okay, God is making this covenant. What should we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized. Be saved from this corrupt generation. So turn to God. Be immersed in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is how the people are to participate in this new covenant that God is making and has made. You could say that when Jesus says the greatest commandments are love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, you might say that is his invitation of how do we participate in the new covenant that God is making with not just Israel, not just one family like Abraham, but with the entire world. And so this is covenant. Covenant is an invitation to participate in a relationship, in a community, in the work that God is already doing. So God initiates the work. God makes the covenant come to pass, but God invites us to participate. So, we have a covenant. We kind of said as leaders, how do we think about church? How do we think about membership? How do we think about being a part of a church? And if covenant is how God seems to be doing relationship and community in the scriptures, let's use this word covenant. Let's talk about covenant when it comes to church and living the gospel life together. And this is what the covenant is. It's about participation. The church is only a church if we are inviting people, both inside the church and outside the church, if we are inviting people to participate in the new covenant that God has made with his people through Jesus Christ. This is what the church does. If a church doesn't do this, if a church doesn't invite people to participate in the new covenant, it's not a church. And the member covenant that we've put out there, that we've voted on and said this is what we think membership is about, that's one way that we are doing that. To invite people in to participate in this new covenant within this community. You see, when God invites people into covenant, when Jesus says, come follow me, when Jesus makes disciples, says, go make disciples, the new covenant is about community. We don't follow Jesus alone. We're not disciples alone. God always calls us to follow him within the community of other followers, other disciples. And so the member covenant is saying, I intend to follow Jesus with this community. I desire to participate in the work that God is doing in Point Place United Church of Christ. I feel called that this is the community. You are called to a community. Our member covenant is saying, this is the community that God has called me to walk with, to journey with, to grow with, to glorify, to grow, and to glow with. This is my church. So, in the member covenant, just to be clear, we're not asking anyone to do anything, I don't think, that isn't already part of your calling in the new covenant. The member covenant is right out of the scriptures. How do we do community together? How has God shown us how to do community together? So we're not asking you to do anything that's not already in the new covenant. We're also, in the member covenant, not asking anyone to do anything they can't do. That would be a very not Jesus-like thing to do. Okay? So God knows what our gifts are. God knows how we're called. And hopefully we are finding out how we're called to follow Jesus. And in the member covenant, we're saying, we're not calling you to do anything that you can't do, but we are calling you to participate in the ways that God has enabled you to participate in this community. So, for example, we have a number of homebound people in this church. They can't make it out to be with us on Sunday morning or to do a lot of the things that we do when we do mission things and things like that. Our homebound members can still be members. They can still enter the covenant. We're going to say, how can you participate in the community? We'll go to their homes and talk with them about this covenant and say, can you at the very least pray for this church? Because we need as many prayers as we can possibly have. And if as a member of this church, we need you to be praying for this church. Can you make some phone calls when we do funerals? Can you write an encouraging note to someone else? Say, I appreciate the ways that God is working in you. You're a blessing. Could you have one of our younger people or just someone younger than you, could you have them over to your home for tea? And just talk with them and pass on some of your wisdom and share with them what God has done in your life. Share your story with them. What are the ways that you can participate in this community? And when you literally can do nothing, we're here for you. That's okay. No one is asking anyone to do anything you can't do. We are only asking you to do what you can do, what God has enabled you and called you to do. Young families with kids, like, it's hard. Like, how can I do all this stuff? I can't be on the board. I can't be on the leadership. I can't do this. We're going to find what you can do, how you can participate in this community. And so a covenant is a two-way street. In the covenant, we're inviting you to participate in what God is doing in this community. And we're also, as a church, whatever that means, as a church, committing to help you figure out what that is. What are my gifts? What am I interested in? What is the fire that God has lit in my belly that I'm supposed to call? And how can we help you do that? How can we provide opportunities for you to use those gifts and to follow those passions? That is the church's commitment as part of this covenant. Lastly this morning, a covenant practice is conversation. Is mutual sharing of what we are thinking and feeling. And so one of the things I want to encourage you in these next couple weeks before we have our covenant ceremony is to be in conversation with me if you have concerns, if you have questions about it. All right, that's part of the covenant, what we commit to one another, is that nothing happens in darkness. We bring it all to the light with one another so we can have conversation about it and be on the same page. Now, I was talking with one of our longtime members this week, Jim Depth, and you know, we were talking about this idea that covenant is an invitation to participate, and Jim shared the story about when he retired from the board. So, you know, of course, Jim faithfully served on our boards for many, many years on trustees and missions and any other, probably more than that. And there came a time where Jim said, God is not calling me to be on boards anymore. I'm retiring from the boards. And he stood up in front of some of you who were here and said that. He said, but I'm still going to be here. I'm still going to find ways to serve and to bless. This is the idea. You don't have to be on a board. You don't have to do this or that, but we are asking you to figure out what is God calling you to do to participate in the life of this community. Because covenant is always an invitation to participate in the work that God is doing in and by and through a community. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this invitation. And I know sometimes, at least for me, it almost feels like a burden that I have to do these things for you, Lord. But I know that in your grace, it's not a burden, it's an invitation. It's an invitation to live our best lives with you and with one another. And so I pray that as we continue to think about membership in a new way and covenant in a new way, God, you would help us to see what you are doing in this church, to see what you are doing in our lives, and to get excited about how we can participate, to get excited about the fellowship that we have together, to get excited about calling one another to make each next step in following Jesus. Thank you for this invitation. We pray that you would continue to bless this church and each one of us here in this room. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.